Shalom, good evening.
Shalom.
The shalom does not come back. What does the Bible say?
If I say shalom to the house does not give back shalom.
I can go back, but this is my house. I cannot go anywhere.
Hallelujah. Good evening.
Good night.
Nice. I want to welcome our sister here. We've never seen you before.
Yeah, Irene.
Irene, I think I've seen you.
Yeah.
Oh,
many years ago.
Yeah, Irene, we went to Sapa together, yeah. Right? Yeah, welcome you, Irene, and your daughter, right? Sister Patricia and Brother Peter's daughter, Esther. Esther, Irene, we are happy to see both of you. Are you happy to be here? Yeah, happy to see Sister Elsie also. Good to see you. We did not see you last night and last week. You know, thanks, Sister Joy, for leading us in praise and worship. Amen. Sometimes, just now I thought of a picture. You know, sometimes we need to go higher. What does that mean? I remember, I think most of you have seen the video. Every day now, we get WhatsApp every day, right? You remember the video that shows you there is a snake? The eagle catch the snake. Ah, and the eagle fly very high. When the eagle flies very high, the snake cannot breathe. The snake dies. But the eagle can go very high because the eagle soar very high. Sometimes we have to break through because sometimes when we gather, sometimes we do not know, we do not see unseen forces. Sometimes you thought it's your tiredness. Sometimes you thought it's the aircon. Sometimes you thought it is something else. But you must know that sometimes whenever we gather, it is a spiritual gathering. Amen.
Amen.
There are seen things, there are unseen things. And when you feel in your heart, right, hey, how come like there is no breakthrough, something is, huh? Is it a house or is it an aircon? Then you must think and say to yourself, I must fly higher. I must fly higher. Very smart. Sister Rosie knows that's the catchphrase. Can you turn to someone and say, I must fly higher? Don't laugh. Y'all are not turning. You must see eyeball to eyeball. I must fly higher. Okay, now get up from your seat, walk around, say to three person, different person that you have never said, and say, I must fly higher. You must fly higher. I must fly higher. Go higher.
Higher.
So are y'all now floating in the clouds? Are you floating on cloud nine now? We all really must fly higher. When you fly higher, the snake dies. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why it says in the Bible, it says, with the high praises in my mouth. And the sword, and the sword in our hands, we will
fly on into the victory land.
Right into Canaan's land. I didn't know that Sister Rosie is old fashioned. I thought my wife and myself only old fashioned, we know all these songs. Sister Rosie seems to know all the songs. I think Sister Veronica also knows this.
Some of the lyrics cannot remember.
God has given a land of good things. I will press in and make them mine. I'll know His power. I'll know His glory. And in His kingdom I will shine. For with the high praises, the sword in our mouth and the today, the sword in our hand. We must ride on to the victory side, ride into Canaan's land. Get up your armor, you sons of Zion. Get up your armor, let's go to war. We win the battle, we keep rejoicing.
And in the kingdom
we will shine. Oh, with the high praises of God in the mouth and the king. Sword in our hand, we will march right on to the victory side, right to Canaan's land. Amen.
Amen.
We will march right on to Canaan's land. Yeah. just we want to continue what we have been looking at from last week. Last week we spoke about the gift of hunger. I just want to give a very quick recap. We spoke about this thing. We say that why do Christians do not have spiritual hunger? You remember that? Why do Christians do not have spiritual hunger? Hunger is something, a very important commodity in a spiritual life. Without hunger, you do not press into God. Because you look at the verse, remember in Proverbs it says that a thief, because of hunger, he dares to do something beyond what other people would not do. And we say that when you look at the natural, you will say that why does a baby or a child does not have hunger? He must have been sick, right? One reason is sick. So if your spirit is sick, you will not be hungry for the things of God. How can your spirit be sick? You are in hurt, you are in pain, you are in bitterness, you are in unforgiveness, and all kinds of sickness afflict your spirit and your soul. Secondly, if you are feeding on junk food, every day you eat Twisties, if you eat, what else? Lay's, what other brands? Then you wouldn't want to eat rice, right? You give a child, every day eat Twisties, mommy, everything, they wouldn't want to eat the normal food. That's the second reason. If you feed on the junk food, spiritual junk food, you wouldn't want a pure spiritual food. Number three, you do not know what to feed. Remember, God has prepared such a huge feast for you, but you are there in a small little corner, happy with what you ate every day, the Mary Easter, not knowing that God has prepared such a big feast for you and for me. And number four, why are you not hungry? Because you are not feeding. The more you eat, the more hungry you are. Amen. If you stop eating, then you don't feel hunger. But the more you eat, the more you are hungry. And I pointed out that this applies positively and negatively. If you are someone who always like to gossip, the more you gossip, the more you love to gossip. It's a neutral principle. The more I like to criticize, I become a expert in criticism. Right? But today we continue on with the gift of hunger. I call it a gift because everything that we need in our life, it is from God. It is never from our goodness. Amen. Hallelujah. So this is today we are going to look at 2 Kings chapter 6. If you have the Bible with you, we are going to look at 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 24 onwards. 2 Kings chapter 6, if you have found the Bible, 2 Kings chapter 6. Say okay. So nobody has found yet. Second Kings chapter 6, verses 24 onwards. Do you have you found it?
Yeah.
Okay, after you found it, don't read yet, look at me. The background to this story, I just want to, before we read, then so that you have a background of the story. Do you remember Elisha? Of course, right? Do you know Elisha?
Yeah.
Elisha followed after Elijah, right? You remember the incident in Dothan, where his servants could not see, remember? There were many enemies outside, army outside, remember? Can you remember that incident? Okay, during the time of Elisha, come follow me, this is the background of the story. During the time of Elisha, Israel has been broken to two kingdoms. Kingdom on the north and on the south. North they call Israel, down there they call Kingdom of Judah. Right? Okay, Israel, Judah, and Israel, sometimes they call it Samaria. Okay, so during that time, Elisha was a prophet, and Samaria is always attacked by Syria. Well, today I still have Syria.
Yeah.
Syria always attack Samaria. But because Israel has a very secret weapon, special secret weapon by the name of Elisha. Every time Syria wants to come and attack, Elisha will have supernatural revelation. The enemy comes this way, he will go and tell the king. They come, they will fail in all their attacks. Okay? So this time, very strangely, they managed to come. And in the Bible, every time Israel, why did the enemy penetrate into Israel? Why? It is always the sin of the people of God, right? This is the picture of it. God is always protecting Israel. Every time the people, his people sin, his protection is lifted. Right? So every time it's lifted, Syria come and attack. Right? This happens again and again. Every time they sin, they disobey God. Deuteronomy 28, we always talk about the power of blessings. But Deuteronomy 28 also says, curse. If you do not trust in God, if you do not follow God, curse begins to come. How can curse come into your life? When there's no protection. Protection is lifted slowly. The further we go away from God, we are open to and vulnerable to all kinds of attack. And this is what happened. So Israelite sin, the northern kingdom sin, Syria came. Then they woke up one day. One fine day, Elisha and the servant woke up. And he said, hey, master, so many armies outside. Die lah. Of course, he's not a Malaysian. Lah. He would say, die lah. He would say, die. Okay? So you look at all the army. Then Elisha said, my poor servant, can't you see the invisible? So he just touched the eye and say, open. And he begins to say, oh, way more God's armies than he who is with us is greater than the enemy around us. Then the servant was shocked. Wow. Then what did Elisha do? We always know that story only, right? We stop there when we know, right? What happened? Then Elisha went out. He caused the servant to see, and he blinded all the armies. Right now? He blinded all the armies. The armies suddenly blinded. Then Elisha came out. Oh, you all want to go to some? You all want to kill your people? I will bring y'all to them. So all the armies followed them to Samaria. Elisha brought all the enemies in front of the king. Wow, the king so happy. You know, the king said, "Can I now kill them? Finally, can I kill them? They always cut out us. They always disturb us. Can we now kill them?" Elisha said, "No. How can you kill someone when your sword and your bow is with you?" Well, it's like first time you all hear this story. Never read the Bible. It's like Sunday school, right? It's like Hollywood, Bollywood, Collywood, and everything, right? You know, they all want to kill already. The king is so excited and you want to kill. They say, no. Elisha said, no. What do we do? Elisha said, feed them. Strange, right? So they gave them a feast. They gave the enemies a feast. Oh, the soldiers suddenly opened their eyes. Oh, we are in front of the king. But he didn't kill us. We were given a feast. So all of them went back, told their king, that king in Syria. Name is Ben-Hadad. So we were treated so well. What do you think Ben-Hadad will do? Oh, yo, let's be friends. They're so good. Is that what Ben-Hadad do? Ben-Hadad say, let's go again. This is what, that's the nature of our enemy. Never think that the enemy will stop and say, "Oh, you're so good to me. I won't disturb you anymore." La. Enemy of our soul. I'm not talking about your neighbor or whoever is your enemy. I'm saying your spiritual enemy will never give up. You think they have to give up anything? They say, let's go again. Now we are in 2 Kings chapter 6. Let's read together from verse 24. We start from verse 24. Since you have, okay, who wants to start? Start from the back, Brother Victor. Everyone read one verse, 6 verses 24 to chapter 7 verse 2. Let's start, Brother Victor.
And it happened after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his army and went up and
besieged
Samaria.
Verse 25. Verse 26.
And as the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, there cries a woman unto him, saying, help, my lord, king.
Verse 27.
And he said, if the Lord do not help me, whence shall I help thee? Out of the wine flow or out of the wine press?
Verse 28.
Then the king said to her, what is troubling you? And she answered, this woman said to me, give your son, that we may eat him today, that we will eat my son tomorrow.
Verse 29.
So we brought my son, and we eat him, and I said unto her on the next day, give thy son, that we may eat him, and she will keep my son.
Verse 30. Verse 31.
He said, may God deal with me, be it ever so severely, to hit Elisha, seven of seven names on his shoulders.
Verse 32.
others were sitting with him. So the king sent a man ahead to him. But before the messenger came to him, he said to them, "Do you see how this son of a murderer has sent someone to take away my head? Look, when the messenger comes, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. It is not the sound of his master's feet behind him."
Verse 33.
And while he was still talking with them, there was the messenger coming down to him, and then the king said, "Surely this calamity is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer?"
7 verse 1.
Then the captain whose arm was supporting the king said to the man of God, "Even if the Lord made windows in heaven, would such a thing be possible?" And he said, "Your eyes will see it, but you will not have a taste of the food."
Amen. It's a very nice story, right? We haven't finished the story. But there are many, 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 many spiritual principles, many lessons we can draw from the verses that we have read. I never knew it was such a very interesting story. So do you catch what happened to them? Right? So, they went back, Eddie, they told, "Oh, the king of Israel treated us also well." King Ben-Hadad said, "So what? Let's go and attack them again." Number one, I want you to look at verses 24 to 25 again. This is what I call the perfect storm. Verse 24 and 25, it says, "The king gathered all his army and besieged Samaria." Do you know what is besieged? Besieged means they surrounded. Because last time the cities are like walled cities. So besieged means they cover up the city. No one can go in, no one can go out. That's the old ancient way of attacking and your enemy. So that they cannot come out, no food in, nothing out. They cannot come out. Come out, die, kill. So that's army besieging the city of Samaria. That is army, right? Why do I say it's a perfect storm? Look at verse 25. While the enemy is attacking them, there is a great famine. Adoy. Are you catching what I'm saying here? Both the natural force and the spiritual force are against you. Enemy is your spiritual enemy. Both you get demonic attack or devilish attack, and at the same time, natural problem, famine. As if it is not good enough, you cannot go out from the city, no food. At the same time, the natural force work against you. Are you happy to be in this kind of situation? Sometimes we can be in a perfect storm. Perfect storm means every element works against us. Both natural and spiritual. So the people of Israel at that time was under siege, was in a perfect storm. But I just want to encourage all of us, there will be seasons, sometimes we go into this kind of season of perfect storm. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13 gives us a hope, gives us an assurance and a comfort. It says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, God will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." You see that? Even though you think yours is the worst case, that my case is the worst. Nobody get my case like so bad. This one I got, my car is spoiled or whatever, then another thing happened again in my life. But 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us the nature of our God. He will not let us go through that which is beyond us. We think it is beyond us. You say, "I cannot already, cannot already." You must know this one thing. God can trust you for you to go through that. Isn't that amazing? God can trust you because He has invested Jesus in your heart, in your life. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So that's a perfect storm they are in.
But be comforted, be encouraged. It is God is faithful. He will not allow you. When at the point you say, oh yeah, die, 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 God will intervene. Amen? So I want you to see this picture. Each time this kind of incident happens in our life, there is a mission of the enemy. Why does this kind of thing happen in our life? Just as the enemy has a mission, has an objective, God also has an objective and a mission. Okay? This one we have mentioned before. Remember John chapter 10 verse 10? We always mention that, right? Jesus comes to give us life and life abundantly. Are you following me?
Yeah.
But the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You see, the enemy has a purpose, has a plan, has a mission in our lives. So, as God also has a purpose in our mind, in our life. So this story, it clearly shows us these two opposing missions. Where is it you say? You see the children of Israel, they are trapped there. Your life, sometimes you feel like you're trapped in a prison. Some people say their life is like a prison. Right? You say married, really like a prison. Something must be wrong in your heart. Right? Something is wrong. If you say I've heard before people say marriage is a prison. That's wrong. That means you have the wrong concept. Marriage is not a prison, right? Amen. Oh, no amen. No amen. All agree marriage is a prison, is it? Oh, strange, huh? Hello. I'm speaking, addressing the wrong crowd. Marriage can be a prison, but it should not be a prison. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, now that's amen, okay? So some say their job is a prison, their family is a prison. But if you read the story just now, what happened? When all these things happened, what did the king do? He said, what did the king do? I am going to kill Elisha. Can you remember that? Verse 31. You see, enemy has a purpose. Right? Everything that happens in your life, every trial, every difficulty, this be reminded, my brother, my sister, this is the purpose of the enemy in verse 31. We have verse 31. It says, God, do so to me and more also if the head of Elisha. What happens to the head of Elisha? Remains on him today. Such a nice English phrase. If the head still remains. What did you say? Very polite way of saying, no more head, headless. I want to chop off the head. That is the purpose of the enemy in your life. He wants to snuff out the Jesus life inside you. If you've been following the teachings all this while, you know that you have a Zoe life inside you, right? A high God's life inside you. What happened in all this trial, this temptation, always ask you to do bad things or things that make you to sin, or you're in a prison, you're under siege by the enemy. What does he want to do to you? He want to choke the life out of you. Not a physical life. You will still be very alive. Some people will still be very alive, but they go to church, right? They are like zombies. You cannot see the eyes inside. They cannot see life in the eyes, and they're just zombies. Praise God, they don't give hands, all that, they are just zombies. Because their life has been choked from them. The spiritual life has been choked from them. If the king is here today, they will say, no more hate, remain on him anymore. Right? So that is the purpose of the enemy. That is the mission of the enemy. To snuff out the divine life which is in all God's children. Do you want that to happen in your life? We do not want that to happen in our lives. Amen? Hello? You want that to happen in your life?
No.
No, we don't want that to happen. But you must be aware. Let's be practical. What happened? When you're in problem, when you are facing trials, when you always have this temptation to cause you to sin, to worry, to criticize, to gossip, do you still feel want to praise God and worship God? You don't. You cannot have two together. When you're so full of worries, when you're chasing after the things of the world, you cannot say, oh, praise the Lord. Not true. There's no life inside of you. What comes up from you? I say a few weeks ago, smoke. You do not emit light anymore. The candle supposed to be a light, providing light in the darkness, right?
because you have the divine life inside you. But when the enemy comes, he wants to snuff out the light. Before it's able to snuff out the light, what comes out from your life? Smoke. Say smoke.
Smoke.
Smoke gets in your eyes. You know what that was then? Huh? That's a song, okay? Smoke gets in your eyes. So that smoke. Let's turn together to Isaiah 42 verse 3. Okay. Hope that we'll have a, we'll quickly look at these few verses. We're going to look at many interesting things from this story. Isaiah 42 verse 3, have you found it? Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoking flax he will not quench. Have you found it? Let's read again. Just read that first part. 1, 2, 3. A bruised reed he will not break, smoking flax he will not quench. There are these two very opposing quality and nature. One about God, one about the enemy. You know, when God looks at a candle, who's going to die with it? All smoke coming out only. Smoke comes out, causing you to can't breathe, right? But sometimes you can't breathe, right? It's because of other people's smoke, right? So you also have to be careful. If you mix with some other people who always come out, all the smoke, you know, right? You also cannot breathe. Amen. Today there's no smoke here, okay? There's life. Amen. Hallelujah. So this is Jesus. The enemy just wait when can snuff out that light. Jesus said, oh, this one is going to snuff out. This is his nature. I will not let this go off. A smoking flax he will not quench. Maybe you see you cannot die. You want to blow off the candle. You want to die here. You just want to blow off. But Jesus' nature is, wait. I will try my best to save so that this fire will not go out. That's the nature of Jesus. Amen. And when a person is so bruised, so hurt already, Jesus will not break that person anymore. What does that tell us? God is so different from the enemy. Amen. So we are not only to learn about the nature of God and the nature of enemy. Sometimes we also have to question ourselves. Do I look more like God? Or do I look more like enemy? When I see people smoke coming out, what do? They die. And they die. Who do I look like? Enemy or God?
Enemy.
Very easy to tell, huh? What about our lives? If we are quickly on to let people, hey, let it die, you want to die, let it die. That's like the enemy want to snuff out the. Because why? A flax, a candle that is dying is very not nice. Hurt people. If you are a person who is hurt, you will definitely hurt people. Why a person hurt others? Because he's so hurt inside. Do you like a hurt person? You like. You always say something hurt to you. Hey, oh, this person I hate. Cut him off from your life. It's the same like the enemy. Right? But if you are like Jesus, oh, this person, I can see beyond the smoke. I know the light is going out. What should I do? I must increase the oil. Amen. How can I, if God can use me to increase the oil? When I am still increasing the oil, I'm still struggling with my breathing. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. When I try to increase the oil, the smoke is trying to kill me. Am I in God's will or not? Why God send this person to me? Should I help him or not? I just want to die. Amen? Do you face that in your life? That's the truth, right? If God has sent that person in your life, if you think God has given you that mission, go ahead. But if you think God says, stay away. You are not mature enough. You are not equipped enough. You go, you also die. Go together. Then don't go. Okay? So we have to be wise. If you are not ready, don't. Simple as that. Are you following me? Don't. Singapore say, hey, gao, gao, right? Okay, gao, gao, go and help. All kinds also must help. Who says so? Mm-hmm. Are you equipped to help? Jesus can help. But when you become more and more like Jesus, God will send people to help, for you to help. Amen.
Amen.
And it's not going to be easy. The smoke will also get in your eyes. When the smoke gets in your eyes, it's painful, it's difficult. Hallelujah. So that we know the nature of God, we know the nature of the enemy, let us also look at ourselves. Am I the same like God? Am I the same like enemy? Say amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you learning something?
Yes.
Verse 25, we go on. Okay, so number one, what have we learned? There are two number one, we look at the perfect storm. When perfect storm comes, we must be encouraged, we must comfort ourselves that we will not be beyond what we can bear. Number two, we look at the opposing mission, one from the enemy, one from God. Okay? Let's look at the enemies. Let's look deeper. How did the enemies try to snuff out the divine life? Sometimes it's good for us to see the strategies of the enemy. Look with me at the king. Who wants to kill Elisha? The king, right? Let's look at what the king did. What did the king do, huh? Verse 26. The king was passing by, right? He was walking. Then a woman cried out to him, "Help me, O king!" That's in verse 26, right? Are you following me? What did he say in verse 27? This is the first thing that the enemy tries to snuff out the life from you. Verse 27. Let's look at the strategy. When you look at the enemy strategy, next time we will know how to counter. We will know, hey, this is the act of the enemy. What usually, how does it happen? What did the king say? When the woman said, "Help, my lord," usually king must help, right? They saw the king walk past them. They are in dire strait. They are in great need. There is famine. There is no food. What did the woman say? Help! What did the king say? Hello? What did the king say? If God does not help me, if God does not help you, where can I find help for you? Sounds spiritual enough? Sounds spiritual enough? Verse 27. Second Kings chapter 6, verse 27. If God does not help you, where can I find help for you? Actually, very spiritual. The king started up very spiritual. Correct. Sounds right, right? Hello? Are you following me? It's very important. It says what? If God does not help you, where can I find help for you? Then he continued by saying, from the threshing floor or from the wine press. My brother, my sister, this is the strategy of the enemy. It affects your faith. It makes you become cynical. Something like faith, but it's cynical. Love. God didn't help me. Who can help me? That's not faith, you know. God didn't help me. I already prayed, nobody helped. That's cynical. It becomes unbelief. When you begin to have this kind of, when you hear your this kind of words come up from you, it's the enemy is beginning to snuff out life on you. God didn't help me how to help. I already tried my best. Sounds like faith. It's not faith. It's cynicism. It is a mistrust against God. When things happen in our life, if you do not know the character of God, you will always say, God sent me. God punished me. God gives this to me. So, you know, if you do like that, what can I do? He didn't help me, what can I do? I already go to church, already asked the pastor to pray. Nothing can be helped. That's not faith. That's not faith. That's cynicism. Cynical. Being cynical. You say, where does that happen? Wine press? Is it from wine press? It's like very funny, you know, like make fun of the woman. You say, where are you supposed that I can find help from? Is it from the threshing floor? Is it from the wine press? Do you see that? First strategy of the enemy is to cause you to begin to distrust God's heart and God's nature. Every time when you go through something, surely the first thing is you must ask yourself, how do you view God? Is God still good? What do you mean God is still good? If God good, why this thing happened in my life? Can I not? If God is good, why this thing happened in your life? If you cannot reconcile that in your mind, the divine life inside you is being snuffed out. That's why it's very important. We always say again and again, we must have a right relationship with God. We must establish a right relationship with God. Only when we begin to spend time to know God, we know, oh, God is not like that. When things happen in my life, how bad it is, I will never curse my God.
I will never say anything bad about my God. I know who my God is. I know what he has done. I experience his nature. God is love. God is good. In the midst of the darkness, in the midst of evil things happening in my life, in the midst of trouble, I do not change. God is good. But when you begin to doubt that, you cannot really. You can't praise God. How can you praise God? You don't feel like going to church. You don't feel like praising God. You don't feel like reading word. You don't feel like spending time with God. So every day, we must have that foundation ready. When you don't have problem or when you have problem, we must establish that relationship with God. It does not come automatic. Hello, can I repeat that? It does not come automatic. The moment you become a Christian, you don't suddenly, I know everything about God. No, you still view God from your own perspective. Some Christians view God from their Buddhist tradition. They see God as a Buddhist tradition. You know, Buddhists must do what? Knock the head. Go. So that, check. Oh, I got a thing. I got something, the message to tell me, right? So that's what you do, right? You do all spiritual somersault. I must fast to get something. You must be careful. Your fasting cannot get you something, right? Many people forget. Fasting is to condition ourselves to receive. It is not fasting that's because, oh, yo, suffering with you. 5 days never eat. I better tell him the secret. Your God is like that. But that's what you feel, right? I must fast to get a breakthrough. How come God enjoy seeing people suffer? God just wait for you to suffer. God is not happy for you to eat the what? Siuyok. See, my Cantonese is not bad. Did God see, look, you see, eat siuyok, cannot. Angry. Fast again, we're happy. You think God is like that? So you got it wrong. You're coming from Buddhist tradition or the Hindu tradition. This is not to belittle them. But that's how they approach God. I must painful already. God will give me a child. Same. Christian also approach like that one. I fast, I do a lot of things, I serve God. Forget about my family. Serve. For what? Some people serve not because they love God. Serve, so that I get the breakthrough. Hello? Say my church. You laugh, but that's what we do. Correct or not? Maybe the children has never seen before, like, what is all this? Maybe they don't know what we are talking about. But when you approach God, you know that whether you poke yourself 100 times, you also won't get a single drop of blessing. Hey, hello, that's the truth, you know. You can poke yourself 1,000 times until you bleed, and then there's a big hole left. You won't get a drop of blessing from God. Not even a tiny drop. And you will still go straight to hell. That's the truth. Some people cannot accept that. Some people say, I was in a chat group. I cannot take it that my non-Christian friend, they are wicked. How can they be wicked? That's the Bible. Whether you like it or you don't like it, that is truth. You and I are born in sin. Some Christians are amazing. They can become a Christian for a long time. All the wrong things that here, they never truly understand. They say, I cannot accept. I have such good non-Christian friends. Yes, non-Christian friends can be good. They will still go to hell. If they don't believe in Jesus, that's the truth. Your beloved Prime Minister or your beloved politician, if they don't believe in Jesus, they will still go to hell. That's the truth. I'm sorry. According to the Bible. So that's why our priorities must be right. Why not we pray for their salvation? More importantly. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Are you following me? So when you spend time with God, you know who He is. When you go through life, you will not be cynical about God. God, you don't say it out, people see you as spiritual, but inside you, you have a hand to God. Cannot, I cannot trust you. I try my best, I do this. That means there is a cynical approach towards God. What's the second strategy that the king did? Say, where can I find help for you? Threshing floor? Wine press? Then he followed in verse 28. Then the king said to her, what is troubling you? She said, then the woman gave all the problem, tell her all the problem. Verse 30. Now it happened when the king heard the words of the woman, he tore his clothes as he passed by on the wall. The people looked, and there underneath he had sackcloth on his body.
we have spoken about this before. In the Old Testament, when they put on sackcloth and ashes. Don't be mistaken, I must learn this clearly. Sackcloth and ashes equals repentance. You know the times of Nineveh, and many times in the Old Testament, when they know that God wants to punish them, God is judging them, they put on sackcloth, they put on ashes on their head, they will cry, they will ask God to forgive them. That is an external show of repentance. But here it's not, okay? Sackcloth without ash is not repentance. It is just pure mourning, sorrow. Many people, when they are afflicted with problems in their lives, they do not know, but there is a long-standing sorrow in their lives. There is no joy of the Lord in their lives. They still go through life. Maybe they are used to it. Are you catching me? They are used to the problem in their lives. They become somewhat, in Hokkien they say, bah. It means I already get the worst. What else can I get from my life? But inside, there is still a sorrow. There is still a mourning. And if you still have that, it can snuff out the life of you. You think, I'm okay. But inside, if there is still that thing that causes sorrow and mourning, no, you're not okay. You must allow God to take that away from you. So how is it possible? You mean all that I've gone through, you think this thing can be removed from my life? Yes, God can do it. Yes, God can do it. Some people say, cannot. He sure got scar in my life. Maybe. That's what the king has. He's just putting on the sackcloth. There's always sorrow in his heart. There's mourning. And you cannot progress if you have that in your life. Amen. I think I've preached before in another church. God can give you the gift of forgetfulness. Yeah. What's the name of the son? There are two sons that was born to Joseph, right? There are two sons born to Joseph, I think.
Manasseh
and?
Start with N.
There are two sons. The second son's meaning is abundance, blessing. The first son's name meaning forgetfulness. Unless God erased the past mourning, past things in your life, you cannot get the second son your blessing. Some people like to hold on to the past, the sad story, sorrow story. They feel good because that is how they identify with their identity. As long as I have this sad part in my life, people will pity me. Why should you live like that? Right now, I must always think that people, I have this. But you don't let go, you cannot get the second. Ephraim. Manasseh and Ephraim. Ephraim means blessing. Manasseh means forget. Forget. Before God gives Ephraim, God gives Manasseh. Make sure, because Joseph went through a very sad, very, right? He was tricked by the Potiphar's wife. He was in a prison. After everything, you think he's in a good shape, man? Yes, he maintained his relationship with God. But God knows the human psychology, the human soul, right? So when he got a wife, God gave him a son, Manasseh first. He gave the son name Manasseh because he knew God has done forget. God has taken away my sorrow, my mourning. Amen. That's the way God works. If God doesn't have do that in your life, you cannot have Ephraim in your life. You can pray all you want, bless me. But you cannot forgive people, you cannot forget your sorrow, cannot forget all those things in the past, the Ephraim will not come. Amen? So these are the two strategies we learn from this king. Of course, in other passages in the Bible, there are other strategies. But this king did these two things. Number one, cynical attitude towards God. Very dangerous, especially young people. Never ever fall into cynicism. Is God like that? Man. Never have that attitude. Huh? I don't believe in God like that. Man. Must fear God. Amen. Cannot be cynical. Don't try. Has science proved God? All that is very bad. But modern youth, they are trained to be like that, to be cynical towards God. Can you prove God? They think they are very clever. No? So you must be very careful. You must be very careful when you study books. Children, you have young people in university, in college, in schools, education of the world is to produce cynicism against God. Whatever education is, to produce cynicism. True? Can you prove the miracles? You can, all when you was young, you can go to Sunday school, very good boy, good girl, suddenly go to college, come back, you go, I don't believe in God. Your passion is gone. Amen? Must be very careful. Never fall into cynicism. Number two, never let the past, the sorrow, to trap you in your spiritual life. Are you following me? Hallelujah.
Yes.
Verse 25. Oh, this is the interesting part. Everybody will like this part. Because of extreme scarcity of food. You see, when people are hungry, people do all kinds of things. Verse 25. What happened? The woman begins to tell the king, "Are you king? To buy donkey's head is how much? To buy the doe's poop is how much?" In Deuteronomy 28, when God talks about the curses, this is what will happen. You are being judged. He's so hungry until he will be, he's willing to eat what? Donkey's head. Is it very tasteful? Anybody has tried donkey's head? Who wants to eat donkey's head? Nobody wants to eat that. Because not nice, right? They are desperate. You see, hungry people are desperate people. When there's no food, even donkey's head becomes so expensive. How much is it? Can you see? What does it say? What's it called? 80 shekel of silver. This one we must ask Victor. Victor is he knows how much metal and all that, right? How much 1 ounce? How much is a 1 ounce of silver today? Let's do a comparison. 1 ounce of silver today is $15, for example. $15, okay? To have 80 shekel is about $600. Hello? Donkey's head. You want to eat donkey's head? Not your giant grocer, okay? Donkey's head, $600. Very expensive. When there is scarcity of food, people eat donkey's head. Do you eat donkey's head?
No.
Do you eat the doe's poop? Hey, that's what happened when they eat donkey's head. They eat the poop of dropping, of dove droppings for 5 shekels of silver. That's cheaper. If you are very rich, they eat donkey head. If those who are not so rich, eat dove dropping. That's 5 shekels of silver. All can afford to eat shit. You like that? Those who are not so rich can afford to eat shit. Those who are more, who can afford one, eat head. My brothers, my sisters, there are times in our life when we are so depraved. We eat whatever people throw to us. I'm talking about spiritual life. Sometimes when you are at such a position, you're besieged, your life is in a trouble. Sometimes I wonder some of the things that Christians believe. You know why? Because when they are in a problem, people say something, they treat it like gold, you know? But a lot of all this gold so-called teaching is just donkey's head and poop of the dove. I challenge you, go back, ask God, what have you been believing that is actually a donkey's head and a dove's poop? I'm surprised sometimes because they are so desperate. Oh, there's this speaker come, that speaker come. You cannot differentiate what is the truth in the Bible. You cannot differentiate what is truly food and what is not food. So you eat lah. And it's expensive. Well, this one come from overseas, you know, this Beijing. Very expensive, you know. And all you get is what? Donkey head. Donkey head produce what? Donkeys. Donkey Christian. Dove poops produce what? Poop Christians. This is something very sad, but I have to highlight because this is the truth. Scarcity of food will lead us to eating subpar food, that means sub-quality food. God has not prepared this kind of food for you. God has prepared a feast for you and for me. If you have been feeding on dove's poop, if you have been feeding on donkey's head, today, wake up. Wake up. God has prepared something much better for you, much higher than you, much higher, much better for you. Amen?
Amen.
Are you catching what I'm saying?
Yes.
You have to examine what we learn, what we receive. Because there are all kinds of food today. In fact, there are times like during the before the New Testament and the Old Testament, there were 400 years when God doesn't speak. There was a time when God is silent. There is a famine of God's word. So we must also discern what is God doing in the world. If there is a famine, if God is not releasing a lot of His words, but a lot of so-called prophets or a lot of so-called people are carrying a lot of words in the atmosphere, you must be able to discern, are those donkey's head, are those dove poop, and never ever partake upon them. Never eat. These are sub-quality food. Amen? Number two, scarcity of food led to cannibalism. That's disgusting, right? Two mothers fighting. Today I eat your son, tomorrow you eat my son. Hello? Tomorrow we eat this son. Then why she went to look for the king? We agreed, right? Today we eat your son, now you hide your son. Very smart also, I must be Chinese. Today we eat your son. Agree. Boy the son. Son, you know, hello, anak. Your chai. Boy, eat on you. When there's no food, when we do not feed on Jesus, when we do not feed on the spiritual life, we begin to feed on each other. Brothers and sisters, let's be careful. When you begin to feed, there are two principles I want to lay here. Spiritual cannibalism and feeding on children. Spiritual cannibalism is talking about in a church, you're feeding on each other. That's not wrong. But you feed means you cause people to die when you eat. Galatians chapter 5 verse 15. In fact, it is being said in the New Testament, there is a verse on spiritual cannibalism. Can you believe that? It says, if you bite and devour one another. Hey, Galatians, New Testament. If you bite and you devour one another, beware. But if you bite, beware lest you be consumed by one another. You can eat up one another. And this one is even more prophetic picture. It's talking about two women, you know, different churches, eating different members of the church. That is not our subject of discussion. But here, even in Galatians, it says, you can bite, you can devour each other. How? By your words. When you bite people, you devour people, you eat up people. That's spiritual cannibalism. You say, Glee, how can I eat people? With your words, with your mouth. Amen? We say this is a dog-eat-dog world. We say outside, the world say dog-eat-dog. Like, I eat you, I climb on you so that I can get promoted. That's dog-eat-dog. But we as Christians, we can never, ever do that. Say amen.
Amen.
We cannot ever have spiritual cannibalism. We have mentioned this time and again. We love people. Amen.
Amen.
We use money. Amen. We use money and love people. We don't love money, use people. Amen. Hello, are you listening to me? Do you use money or use people? If you use people, you love money. If you love people, money is to be used. Don't love the money, love. Then use people. We can never. That is leading to spiritual cannibalism. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Number two, feeding on children. This is the danger of parents. All their lives, their identity is based on the children. If the children got into trouble, they also got into trouble. Nothing wrong. As parents, we have to take care of children, right? As parents, we take care of children, we have the responsibility. But we don't feed on them. We feed on Jesus, we take care of their lives. We have our separate identities, they have their separate identities. Some people, all their life, they only talk about the children. My children like that, like that, like that. My children like that, like that, like that. From young till small, my children now university. My children now already have a wife, have a car, have grandchildren. All they talk about is only their children. If you take that, remove their children from their life, nothing to talk, you don't know what to say.
very dangerous. We cannot feed on children. We must feed on God. Why? Because anything happen to the children, you die. You don't know what to do. You can't help your children. You can't help yourself. This is what happened. In times of scarcity of food, the woman begin to feed on the children. It's so crazy. But it is a very powerful picture. Are you learning something tonight? Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. We're going to end now. Okay? I want to teach something now on what then is God's strategy when you are in the situation like the Israelites? Follow me. It's very interesting. What is the strategy then? How did they find their way out? Just now we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13, God will always provide a way out. How did God provide a way? The king has already given a command. Go and kill Elisha. Because if he doesn't pray for God to stop this thing, Elisha will have to be killed. This thing happened because of God. The king does not know God. Right? So if the king, Elisha doesn't pray, I will kill him. Look at what Elisha does. Very, very, very nice. Follow me. Verse 32. Everybody look at verse 32 and read with me. 1, 2, go. But, you see, it started with but, you know. Why does it start with but? That means it's very different. Elisha was operating in a different spirit than the king. The king is coming to kill him. But, let's go. 1, 2, go. But, wow. What did Elisha do? Elisha was sitting in the house. Brothers and sisters, this is where you and I must learn. How do you want to hear God's voice? How do you want to be led by the Holy Spirit? You must always be at the position of sitting. Elisha was not like, the king is going to kill me. What to do? And the king is going to, what? The king is coming, the king is coming. Hey, how? Who has handphone? What to do? The king, the Elisha was, but, all everybody is coming to attack to take his life. But Elisha was sitting in the house. Brothers and sisters, the first step, you have to hear God's voice. You must be at a position of rest. You must be at a position of rest. God is your shepherd. He will lead you at a place of rest. You must, he leads you beside still water. When the water is still, you can see a clear reflection. The voice of the Lord is clear. You cannot just be sitting on the outside, but inside you are walking around. What to do? Inside you're still walking. Elisha was inside out sitting. He was at rest. Come what may. I am God's child. I know who God is. I am not easily shaken. He is sitting. Can you picture Elisha sitting? All the, you know, the king has sent army to kill him already. He was, hello, sitting where? In his house. Tell each other, I must learn to sit. Tell each other, tell the person, I must learn to sit. Even sitting must learn. I must learn to see. If you are not at rest, who are you? Very? Very?
Lean.
Very?
Lean.
If you are very lean, you can never hear God's voice. You will miss. Can I again tell you? Never make a decision when your heart is lean. When your heart is troubled, when your heart is not sitting down, never make a decision. You could be making a wrong decision. Wait until you sit down. Sit down. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 32, Elisha was sitting in his house. What did he do? He was sitting in his house doing what? Wow. He was talking with the elders. Wow. Elisha was sitting in the house and the elders were sitting in the house. If you are always at a place of rest, you are in the company of wise people. Elders always speak of people who are experienced, who have wisdom. So there are many layers to this, okay? If you are always at rest, you will receive counsel from wisdom. Jesus is wisdom himself. Jesus is wisdom personified.
elders also speak about those saints. I've not experienced this, okay? But people who have experienced this, they can see in the spiritual realm, people come and speak to them. It's scriptural. Okay, mine is in the form of dream. My wife and myself in the form of dream. Now I begin to understand. When you begin to rest, God can speak to you in dream. He can send saints. He can send people to talk to you in your dreams. Have you had dreams when maybe when some famous preacher come and talk to you something? You think it's just a dream. But the elders, you are sitting with the elders. Have you had that dream before? Anybody? No? Your dream, maybe Rodney Howard Brown come and talk to you, Benny Hinn come and talk to you, or Kong Hee or whoever. Some people you know lah. Have you ever had such a dream? No? All of you know? Oh, no. Learn to sit. I'm beginning to believe this is scriptural. Okay? It's scriptural. Maybe you think it's, why am I saying all these things?
You mean everybody who's a dream?
No. Dream is a way of God speaking to you. It doesn't have to be dreams. It can be in other ways. Maybe you read a book. You read a book, God can speak to you. That book becomes your elder. That book becomes your wisdom. But I'm opening up the feast for you to see. Maybe you can be satisfied with books, but if you inside your heart, you become hungry. You hear about it, you say, can I get it? Can God speak to me in dream? Maybe you want it. God will give to you. But if you're happy with those books, fine. Some people, they're not come up from their comfort zone. They're happy. It's fine. Perfectly fine. But if you know the feast that is set up before you. Another thing is waiting on God. When you sit, you're waiting on God, right? Do you know when eagles wait on eagles wait when they look at the sun? Hello? I don't have time to go through that. Maybe you've heard before, right? When eagles wait, because their skin, they need to change the skin. You heard that, of that, right? So the eyes are on the sun. They are waiting on the sun. That's a beautiful picture of waiting. They cannot eat one, you know? They have to just look at the sun. And you know what happened? All the other mature eagles will come and bring meat for him. It just happens in the natural. When an eagle is waiting, he cannot go to find food anymore. But those mature eagles who have gone through the process of waiting, or has new skin already, they'll bring meat. They see this is a waiting eagle, they'll bring meat. This is to provoke you a bit. God can use angels, God can use Bible, God can use all that. Everything must still be biblical, okay? These are all biblical principles. You are not to seek for them. I'm just opening up your mind to say that when you seek God, when you learn to wait on God, suddenly you have this experience and you ask me, hey, is it from God? Then you know it's from God. Why are you not hungry? Because you're not feeding it. When I begin to talk about it, you begin to think about it. Do you want it? This is where the impartation comes. This last week we talked about impartation. Amen. If you want it, maybe you're not sure, it's okay. We are not forcing this on you, but I'm just opening up the avenue for you. If you learn to rest in God, if you will learn to sit, we'll begin to receive instruction, wisdom from God. God can suddenly give you a verse in our dream. It's okay. I started with that. I started my first, when I was a youth, I started with a dream where I saw my leader speaking to me in dream. I was shocked. He gave me an instruction. So I went to the church, and the elder asked me to talk about what I had in the dream. I said, in the dream, I remember you were telling me this and this. And we did what I had dreamed. And it was what God wanted to do. Just like that, I dream of a leader. You know, sometimes you think, just a dream lah. It is just a dream, just a dream. Correct now, it's up to you one. Jesus always say, be it according to you, unto your faith lah. Just a dream. You see, this one, don't believe lah. Too extreme. Too extreme, no? Nobody force you one. Nobody will take a knife and say, you must. Nobody, right? Extreme, never mind. Keep eating your biscuit, it's okay. Everyone is happy with you're happy with your biscuit, you're not false, right? But I want to give this opportunity for you to be provoked. When you learn to sit, there'll be elders. You begin to receive impartation of wisdom. God can speak to you through dreams, through vision. You are supposed to expect, because Joel said in the last days God will pour out His Spirit, and the main way God speaks to us is through dreams, through visions, through heavenly encounters. Amen.
Amen.
I'm still waiting for that. I'm not shy to tell you, I'm still waiting and expecting more of that. Amen. Hallelujah. Number one, sit in the house, elders sit with you. And when you do that, you see, Elisha begins to have prophetic sight and prophetic sound. He could see the enemy coming. He has foresight, and he begins to hear the steps, even though he has not come yet. But the way to do that, Elisha himself tells us. Read with me, verse 32. Follow me closely. Elisha was sitting in his house, was at rest, and he realized the elders were sitting with him. Then the king sent a man ahead of him. Before the messenger came to him, he has prophetic sight, right? What did he say? Do you see? He saw first. It was not just a feeling. Not wrong, sometimes you just have a funny feeling. God can speak to your feeling, but God can also give you sight. For Elisha, he saw, do you see? The son of a murderer has sent. Who is this son of a murderer? This king was the son of Ahab and Jezebel. That's why Elisha called this king son of a murderer. This, he saw, do you see how this son of a murderer has sent someone to take away my head? He saw the plan of the enemy. You and I have to see first. You can see. It's all your senses. God takes us through processes. There was one time, the last time we stayed in Sadas, right? There was something I'm going to work. Before I go to work, I asked my wife, hey, I feel like we forget something. What is it that we forget? Hey, my wife, yesterday is my mom's birthday. Or today is my mom's birthday. God speaks to feeling. I don't know why he says, like we forget something. We must recognize. Or suddenly you see something. You know, you can see something when your eyes are open and you can still see something. Your sight, the sound, the feeling, God is speaking to us. You and I have to learn to hear God's voice in the last days. Amen. The first key to doing that is sit. Be at rest at all times. Go to work wherever you go. You cook, whatever you do. Never get out of the rest. What will trouble you? Suddenly, the news will trouble you. A WhatsApp will trouble you. Look at the WhatsApp. Oh, you come out of the rest. Elisha teach you something. Come. Do you see? He said, do you see how this son of a murderer has sent someone to take my head? Okay, are you following me? And this is the instruction. The things that will take you out of your rest, what should you do? Look when the messenger comes. Look. Look at the distraction. Look at the WhatsApp. Look at the thought that is coming. Shut the door. Hold him fast at the door. Don't let him come in. You see or not? The messenger is sent to snuff out the divine light. If I entertain that thought that comes, your past thoughts, I begin to be angry about the person. I begin to be angry about my friend. I begin to be angry about something. I see clearly, look at that messenger, close the door of your heart. I will not entertain this thought. Amen. You can do that. Elisha gives us a key here. If you learn this, this will really help you in your relationship with God. You begin to hear God's voice. You begin to shut off voices that you shouldn't hear. There are voices, there are things that come. The messenger comes to snuff out the light. The messenger is sent by the king, right? Evil king, to snuff out the light. So he says, I can see the messenger coming. It is consistent on that. In the New Testament, Paul said, there's a messenger of Satan sent to buffet me. A messenger of Satan. So Elisha saw, said, see. When he comes at the door, look at him, recognize that thought, it is not from God. God will never give you a thought that gives you fear. Suddenly, a thought gives you fear, recognize it, close the door. I'm not going to entertain this fear. I'm not going to entertain this and respond in worry. I'm not going to entertain this and respond in bitterness. I maintain my position sitting in the house. Hallelujah. I maintain my position of rest. Hallelujah.
Are you following some? Are you learning something?
Wow. And you hold. Elisha actually asked them, teach us very, you don't just stop, close the door. Hold him. You cannot come in. You cannot come in. Because he will try to come in. He will keep coming. You must learn one thing. Hello, brother and sisters, look at me. Not all your thoughts are your thoughts. You must first learn this. You don't think that all thoughts that come are your thoughts. No. Not all your thoughts are your thoughts. Thoughts can come from the enemy. Thoughts can come from other people. Thoughts can come from God. That's why Martin Luther said, the birds can fly over your head. Never let the birds have a nest on your mind. The thoughts can come. You build a nest, you already say, welcome, 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 come, 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 all these thoughts. Then your life will be in a mess, Lynn. You forget that you must be sitting. Amen? Are you learning something? Shut the door, hold him fast at the door. Wow, see, he recognizes him, he sees him, he identifies that thought. Then he said, it's not the sound of his master's feet behind him. He recognized, oh, it doesn't come one only, the messenger come. Now the king, the enemy behind, the devil himself, I can hear the sound coming. While he was still talking with them, there was a messenger coming down to him. And the king said, surely this calamity, is it? Surely the enemy begins to say something. But what has Elisha done? Close the door. Close the door. The messenger cannot kill him, but maybe you can still hear some voice from the king. But it doesn't affect him anymore. He continues to sit at his place. Is it? Surely this calamity is from the Lord. Why should you begin to talk all those nonsense, full of doubt, full of unbelief? But because Elisha has closed the door, hold the messenger at the door, continue to sit at his place, he begins to prophesy. He begins to hear the voice of God. Chapter 7, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord. Tomorrow, this time, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel. 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. You begin to tap on the strategy of God, which your natural mind cannot accept. The strategy that God gives is different. Now, I have to buy there's not enough food. I have to spend so much money to buy a donkey's head. But suddenly, because you are at rest, you begin to see, you begin to sense what God is doing. You begin to sense God's strategy. You say, no, tomorrow things will be different. Tomorrow things will be different. You need to know what God is doing. Because if you do not know tomorrow things will be different, you continue to operate in the old way. You continue to live in the old way. Even the disciple of John the Baptist has to know. When Jesus comes, the disciples say, okay, now I'm following Jesus. There is a time that you continue, you must continue on. So he received that strategy. Tomorrow, everything will be cheap, which means what? Everything will be in abundance. There is a change of season. There is a change of Kairos season. Things are beginning to happen tomorrow. You catch it, it's yours. You don't believe it, you will not get it. And when he said that, the messenger began to be doubtful. He didn't laugh at that, but he said, look, the Lord, even if the Lord make windows in heaven, how can this thing be? Elisha, don't try to be funny. You know I'm coming here to kill you. You tell me lies. And Elisha said, well, you will see it. You will not eat of it. Wow. You will eat. You will see it. You don't believe what I have received from God, you don't believe the strategy of the spiritual realm, fine. My brothers, my sisters, you can hear all many things. You don't believe it, it's not yours. You see other people blessed, you will not experience it. So fearful, right? Here, Elisha released a prophetic strategy, released something that comes from heaven. Tomorrow, everything will be different. If everything will be different, I must operate differently. I must be ready. If God tells us something, I must be ready. Things will be different. The way I eat must be different. The way I go to work, the way I train my children. If I know something is happening in the future, this is God's plan. Everything must change. To prepare myself for it.
But if I don't believe, no la, Jesus won't come la. From time, last time 70 people say Jesus will come, then now also never come. People always say that, right? But if you know Jesus will come in your lifetime, for example, if you believe Jesus will come in your lifetime, your life will change. Your life will change. You will live as if every day Jesus is coming back, and that's not wrong, because you are responding to a divine revelation, divine strategy from God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Hallelujah. I hope you are learning something today. Maybe there are too many things I have. Maybe I should have split this into a few times. But actually, we have not done yet. This is the first part of the story. Next week, we continue with the gift of hunger. Okay, last week is the first part. We have laid the foundation of gift of hunger. This week we take the story as an illustration of hunger. Next week we will continue the story. So I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, ask yourself, have you been eating donkey's head? Have you been eating dove's poop? Do you want to learn to tap into the realm of the spirit? Then you and I must learn to sit down in your heart, in your spirit. How do you sit down in your heart, in your spirit? You must not allow anything to disturb the peace and rest between you and God. That means you must maintain that spiritual harmony between you and God. If it is sin, you must get rid of sin. If it is unforgiveness, if it is a sickness of the soul, you must ask God to heal you. If it is hurt, if it is bitterness, if it is sorrow, we must ask God to heal us. But today, as we come before God, I want to encourage you, if you are coming before God, God will not snuff out the life of you. If you are a bruised, broken reed, God will not break you. But what is important is you and I must come to God. Hallelujah. We'll ask Brother Joseph to just sing a song. Can you just lead us in a song? And I want all of us to learn to be sitting inside us. Before you and I can sit, you must learn to tell yourselves to be entering into that rest, entering into that peace. Life into the words, Lord. Father, everyone that has heard the word this evening, I pray that there be impartation from your Holy Spirit, Lord. That there be a hunger inside their heart. That they say, I want to know this God more. I want to hear his voice. I want to begin to have this hunger to spend time with him. I want to find the answers I've been searching all this while. Time, ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. If you have been eating the poo of pigeon or dove, if you've been eating donkey's head, God must first cleanse you. If not, you cannot put in the treasure, the word of the pure milk or the meat, the spiritual meat. Ask God to cleanse you. Or if your heart is sick, if your soul is sick, you're afflicted with sorrow, you're afflicted with things of the past, ask God for the gift of Manasseh in your life. Ask God to erase those things from your life. Ask God to give you the gift of Manasseh. Or if you are not in a position of sitting down, ask God to help you. Remove everything in your heart so that you can enter into this place of rest. When you are in that place of rest, you're going to ask God to speak to you. Can you open your mouth, open your heart now, just talk to God. Okay, don't wait for people to pray for you, but take this opportunity, begin to tell God, God, I want to learn this, I'm hungry for this. Or give me the gift of hunger to pursue you. There's so much more I do not know, but I want, Lord. If this is something you have for me, I want it, Lord.
I want to go higher. I want to fly higher so that the snake will die in my life. I want to fly higher now. When the snake is after me, like Elisha, when they want to come after their lives, Lord, I want to be like Elisha, accessing the spiritual life, accessing into the spirit realm. Help me, God. Help me, God. I cannot be at peace. I cannot be at rest inside my heart because of these things in my heart. Begin to tell Him, what are the things in your heart? Don't bother about the person on your left, on your right. This is between you and God. I'm going to sing this song softly. I worship you. You don't have to sing. You can sing up to you. But please take this time to connect with God. And I'm going to ask God to show anything that's in your heart. Suddenly God will, maybe will, you can talk or something, or you already know. There are unique heavy God that's disturbing you, that you cannot sit with God. You must know that God loves you. God cares for you. God is good. Come Holy Spirit, breathe upon us this evening. Come Holy Spirit, we need you. Things that stop us, hinder us from being able to rest. Things that torment our minds. Break that power of darkness in Jesus' name. And break its power over you in the name of Jesus. Some of you need to release forgiveness. Unforgiveness will torment you. Unforgiveness will torment you, and you cannot find that peace, that rest. you have to release unforgiveness. You may say, but that person did this to me, but that there's no longer but this or but that. You choose to forgive. You choose to forgive. You release all hurts to God. You release all pain. And you say, I choose this day to forgive, and I bless the person who hurts. I bless the person who caused all this pain in my life. Can you do that? That will be the key to your freedom this evening. Some of you is in a matter of sorrow. Some of you, unforgiveness. Father, release your healing presence right now. Heal every wounded soul. Heal every wounded soul from past experiences. Lord, release a gift of Manasseh in our midst. Release a gift of Manasseh in our midst right now. Right now, receive in Jesus' name. Choose to forgive in your heart. You don't have to wait for the emotion. You choose. I choose to forgive. If you are struggling, ask God to help you. Say, God, I want, but I can't. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Some of you, the Holy Spirit, the hand of God is upon you. You know that God, His finger is pointing at certain things in your heart. And when the hand of God is on you, He is releasing grace. He's enabling you to do what you cannot do. So take this opportunity, seize this opportunity. Agree with God, yield to the Holy Spirit. And whatever He says to you, just do it. Say, God, yes, I agree. Yes, Lord, I obey you. Yes, Lord, I surrender. Yes, Lord, I yield. Forgive me. Yes, Lord. Some of you need to say yes to Jesus. Yes, Lord, open the way. Yes, Lord, open the way. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Move in our midst right now. Lord, many of us are longing for a breakthrough. Many of us are longing for a breakthrough. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, release healing balms. Release healing balms right now in Jesus' name. Jesus does not come with anger or condemnation, but He will woo you with His love. He said, I long for you. I love you. Will you let go of that? There's so much more I've prepared for you. If you do not let go of that, how can I lead you to the more? How can I lead you to the higher if you hold on to all this? So if all of you close your eyes, if you have something in your heart you think you need to let go, you want to release to God, put it in your hands and give it to God this evening. I'm not going to look at it. Nobody is going to look at it. Put the things in your hand. Let it be a prophetic act you do. Put the things, the sorrow, the pain, whatever that you cannot resist, the temptation, the anger, whatever that you have been struggling, put it in your hand. Put it in your hand. And you're going to tell Jesus, God, I give it to you and I will not take it back. I surrender to you and I will not take it back. Put it in your hands right now. Put it in your hands. Do your hands like the shape of a cup, a shape of a bowl. And put all those things in your hand and give it to Jesus. You're struggling with things in your life, your anger or any other bad habits, whatever, you put it in your hands like a bowl. Say, Jesus, this is a sign that I cannot do it. You help me. I humble myself to you, before you this evening. Help me, Lord. If that is your prayer, do that right now. Put it in your hand like a shape of a bowl. Release to God. God, I release to you my pride, my envy, my jealousy, my anger, my past, my sorrow, my worry. Help me, Jesus. These things haunt me, my pain, my bitterness, what people have done to me, towards me. You put that in your hands right now. Shikar Rabaka Sokorobo. You We are doing that as an act of faith and as a prophetic act. Father, in the name of Jesus, focus on him right now. Focus on Jesus, all eyes on Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, release your ministering spirits. Release your angels. Release your ministering spirits. Begin to remove those things from their life that they are surrendering, that they are yielding. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, touch them right now in the name of Jesus. Release a measure of grace right now. Lord, your Holy Spirit is in our midst, and your angels are working in our midst, Lord. Those who are believing, who are doing it out of faith, God, I believe there is a supernatural work being done right now in their hearts. Rokundo kobo shika, rebe shika rabasondo, shika rabasondo roboriano, ki karobo soko. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, be loose in Jesus' name, be loose in Jesus' name. Lay your hands off the people of God, in the name of Jesus. Some of you are beginning to feel a lightness in your heart. Continue to yield to God. I know God is working in your hearts. Don't have to wait for people to pray for you, but yield to Him inside. Just that yielding, that calling out to Jesus, say, "Help me, God. I want it now." That hunger in you, just tell God, "God, I'm desperate. I mean business these times. Many times I've done it, but I failed. But God, I mean business. And God, I need this. I need you, Lord. Come. Do something, Lord. I need you." Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Move, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Touch every heart. Touch every heart in Jesus' name. Touch every heart, Jesus. Thank you.